of us as young people didn't think that we really needed a church in our lives until we had children. The words we are about to read, even though written almost 200 years ago, resonated with a great many of the parents who have been in this room. Join me in reading responsibly the timeless words of William Ellery Channing, number 652 in your book. The great end in religious instruction. The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth.
Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward strength.
Not to bind them by ineradicable prejudices to our particular sect or peculiar notions.
But to prepare them for the gradual, unconscious judgment of whatever subjects we may ours in this city.
Not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought.
Not to impose religion upon them in the form of our arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment.
In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish spiritual life. Now we will hear of Troy and Danielle's search. Danielle is a primary school teacher, and Troy a strategic planner at Bell Canada, who are raising five children together. Your turn.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Get this through here. Okay, it was our honor when we were asked to come speak with a congregation who we still feel we're kind of growing into, and really it was about our search for spiritual practices for our family and our search for a church. And Danielle found a great quote, which you guys can see there. There's only two ways to live your life, like nothing's a miracle or like everything's a miracle, which is by Albert Einstein. So we try to obviously live our life by the latter, and I hope others do as well. in preparing for the talk, given the fact that we're kind of trying to celebrate the third principle of UU and acceptance, we felt that the link between us encouraging our children and ourselves to look upon all the different religions of the world and different practices, that the link was fairly easy to make, because it's really about not tolerance, because you tolerate a headache, but acceptance, because you can, you know, see that someone else has another point of view, and that's okay, because all the different points of view around the world, you know, can encourage and nurture each other to have spiritual growth. Keep quick. Oh, sure. I have some notes here too. Okay.
Did you want to keep going?
Yeah. Okay. So, even before we had children, we talked about spirituality and we talked about religion, and we were both raised Catholic, by the way. That has certain forming aspects, and as we kind of talked about raising children, we wanted to make sure that there was really an open aspect, but we weren't thinking secular, so we bought a bunch of religious books, and when we had our first son Tristan, we, you know, read some of those and so on. But at the end of the day, life gets very busy, and it was kind of things happened when they happened without a real kind of purpose. It wasn't ingrained in the way that we lived our lives every day. And so it was with best intentions, but it kind of dawned on us when we were visiting Iona Village in Cape Breton. I don't know if any of you have been there. It's a great little spot. And you see this white church on the bottom. And for us, our church was in our home. And that's what we tried to really preach, that we would talk to God, you know, around the dinner table, whatever. But we thought it was a little telling when we drove by this church in Cape Breton, and our son Tristan said, "Well, what's that building? It looks really different. What does that mean?" And when we drove by in Dartmouth to various churches, you know, he would say the same thing. "I don't know what these are." And so we felt it was important to expose him to even though our faith traditions were different, other faith traditions, and to be more specific like that. And then we also found that with our new adopted children, when we kind of made our family complete, that the eldest, Kyla, and even Destiny, as we'd drive around, she'd say, "Well, is that the church that we're going to go to?" Because they would talk about having gone to church with their foster family. And so, even though they, you know, came to us through looking at buildings, we wanted to make sure that they understood that, and we kept in our hearts that church isn't a building, it's a community of like-minded individuals, values, and traditions. And so we kind of started our search for a church, and stopped many places along the way, and finally ended up here. We're very happy about it.
Okay, so I'm going to quote a doctor, Dr. Wendy Wright. She speaks about parenting and spirituality, and I felt that it really fit us. This is an abridged quote, okay? So she says that being a mother or father stretches the heart just as the womb is stretched in pregnancy. This is because among all loves, parental love is perhaps the one that most pulls your heart out of its self-love. Parenting reshapes the core of your being to help you to love more like God loves. Seeing your own child's fragility and morality works to create in you feelings of inexpressible tenderness that help you feel what God must feel when God looks at us. Side note, I know not everybody believes in God, but that's been part of our journey thus far, so we do make reference to God. To be a parent is to be formed in a school of love. And she explains that this school of love teaches you to welcome, to permanently open your heart, life, and plans. The next lesson is flexibility. Parenting demands that you constantly grow and readjust, adapt, let go, learn to love in a new way. Finally, being a parent should naturally lead you to shape your heart for reconciliation. And love is all about forgiving again and again and again. And I would add to that what for us is really what parental love has really shown us, what we've learned is accepting. We have five very, very, very unique children, and to love them unconditionally, we need to be able to accept them unconditionally. And those are the things that we use to sort of push us forward in how we parent, how we try to approach every moment. So we try to show them to be forgiving, to be accepting. We try to show them to be flexible. All of those lessons that parental love is teaching us, we try to show that to them as well. So you can see that we have a little puppy and a kitten. One of the things that we talk a lot about at home is not just to say sorry to when we do something that might hurt someone's feelings, or because they're kids, their body, sometimes there's some hitting. It's not, for us, it's not enough to just say I'm sorry and move on. So we talk about sort of repairing what has happened, and there's, so they have what we say is the three things. So you apologize for what you've done. You check in that the person's actually okay, and then you ask how, if there's anything that you can do to help them. So if I've broken your craft, is there something I can do? Perhaps I can glue it back together for you.
So the idea is really to not just say I'm sorry, say what you're sorry for, to acknowledge that what I've done, to check in that they're okay, to really try to build empathy. And then the third one, as Danielle said, to say what they can do to help to really repair the relationship. Because at the end of the day, that they're still going to be together.
Also, if you see you might notice the balloons of multiple colors, and it's kind of a good connection since next week is Pride. when maybe a couple of years ago we were driving downtown and there were multiple colored balloons everywhere, and the kids were like, why are there so many balloons? Why is there a rainbow balloon? And it was the perfect segue for us to talk about how not everyone was allowed to love who they wanted to love, and that it's a celebration of being able to choose the person that you love. And it was just a small conversation in passing in the car, and since then it's really been something that's stuck with the kids. And every time they see people who are together and in love, they're like, oh, they're so lucky that they get to be with the person they love. And it's really stuck with them, and that's...
And I mean, I love the fact that, I guess, getting this kind of idea out at such a young age, we have a really good friend, some of our best friends, who they just broke up. And so we talked about the fact that next time they come, they won't to our house, they won't be together. So the thing that was really interesting was they said, okay, well, maybe this person, this man will come with his girlfriend or his boyfriend. And it was just, there was no judgment. It was just, that's the way it is. And it was really great to see that. So,
And the last little point on this slide is that, well, it's not very small, really. It's about positive energy. We talk a lot about trying to love everybody and love everything, and to understand that other people are not necessarily going through happy times all the time, but that we can try to send them as much positive energy as possible. So this Tristan, when he was getting his tonsils out, and how the other kids really made a point of trying to be like, we're going to think about you, we're going to send all kinds of positive energy for you, and that's something that we try to do on a regular basis. Whenever we know somebody is going through something, we sit together as a family and talk about sending out positive feelings.
So we have a couple slides here, one around spiritual practices that we do as a family, and you see a number of different elements here on the slide. So one of the things we do is there's always something to be grateful for. And it was actually a challenge when the children first came and moved in with us, where, you know, they would say, what are you grateful for? Because we do this every day at supper around the table. Before anyone eats, everyone has to be there, and we have to say we're grateful for. That's a non-negotiable. And I won't say who, but one of our children had a real hard time with it. So we got a gratitude journal, and have them practice that way. So write five or six things every day that you're grateful for, that way you have something to pick from. And it's really fun now, because now we get to the table, and even if we're at a restaurant or with someone else's home, but we haven't said what we're grateful for yet, we can't eat yet. So it's good that they're coming back to us with it. And it's really kind of cemented. Another thing that we do a lot is we try to connect with nature, because from a spirituality perspective, although our personal beliefs are that we're part of something greater, and that we, you know, come from something greater and will return to something greater. At the end of the day, we haven't been specific as to exactly what that is in terms of a religious faith or whatever. So even when we're out in nature, we also talk about the majesty of nature. So whether it's a nature walk where we're talking about the cycle of life and how that works and how miraculous that is, or you know, we're out camping and we're able to appreciate just being away from technology for a while, it's all connected with nature.
And one of the first slides, there was a house and a church. The house is our house, and we've recently moved there, and we have a little over an acre, and it is for us like our communion. Like, we go there, and all of the children in the morning, oh, did you hear the birds? And, oh, look at the beautiful flowers that are coming. Like, we've really, it's something that we try to really connect with nature on a regular basis and have them notice, like you said, the miracle of just life that's around us at all times.
And maybe it was a sign this morning, our challenges with technology. Somehow the universe telling me that I need to connect more with nature, because it was the third different technology that we used to finally get out there. So thanks. We brought a show and tell, which I'll pass around if folks want to look at. But we used to do from this more often, and we stopped for whatever reason. But we're starting every morning now to read a blessing. It's a child's book of blessings. So we'll pass that around. They're fairly short, and it's really just some positive message first thing in the morning, so that they can, you know, start your day off that way.
And It also allows us to connect as a family. Like, we always eat supper together, but this, in the morning, we can kind of sit all together. Yep. Morning times can get pretty busy.
Yep.
Meditation is on there as well. That's something that we do pretty regularly, especially through the school year. We sit down and just try to focus in on the moment, because school is so busy. They're, even though we try to have them not be that busy, there are little people who are so busy. And sometimes we're all worried about dance class and taekwondo and lessons and homework and all of that. And so it's nice to just take a moment to calm down together. So we do that usually before bed.
Yeah, it's often guided meditation, but sometimes it'll be just be quiet meditation as well.
I'm noticing the time, and I know there's other things to do. So we have there's a lot of guided meditation on YouTube, which is what we usually do. We do them in French, but if ever that's something that you wanted to do, YouTube has a lot of options for guided meditation for children or for adults.
Yeah.
So
we also have spiritual traditions. So these are things that are not every day, but that we celebrate through the year, that we feel are important kind of events that we want to reinforce on a regular basis. So you'll see at the top, this is the spirit of Christmas. If anyone recognizes, I think it's the Who's singing around the mm-hmm. Christmas tree, right? So
we're big fans of Dr. Seuss.
Even before the kids, by the way. So every Christmas, Christmas is very commercialized, and one of the things we try to do is celebrate the fact that the spirit of Christmas recognizes that it's not just about that, and the spirit of Christmas visits our house, and every day for 25 days brings a different book that's wrapped up, and the children get to open it, and we read it together, and then at the end of the Christmas season, the spirit of Christmas collects up all the books and then has them for next year. So that's one of our traditions. Another tradition is, so when we were looking for middle names for Tristan, we were talking about all kinds of things, and we just happened to talk about Mexico and how, at the equinox, the shadow actually goes down the temples and looks like a serpent and so on. It was really interesting. It was an interesting name, and he was going to be born on the equinox, so it was kind of perfect, right? So Tristan on the equinox, and then Kyla's birthday is actually pretty much exactly on the summer solstice. So we make a point of celebrating the seasons and recognizing the solstice and the equinox.
And that's their middle names. I don't know if that was clear, but Tristan's middle name is Equinox, and Kyla's middle name, she chose it with us. We didn't change their first names when we adopted them, but we were able to change their middle names, and she was part of the process of picking her middle name, and we picked solstice together for her, so they feel like it's almost like a second birthday. Like, we don't make it into a big thing, but they really love celebrating the solstice and equinox.
Yep.
And it goes back to our love of nature, really, and how all of that sort of comes full circle. Spring, there's a little picture of the butterflies and the flowers. We've really talked a lot about nature and how much we talk about that with them. We do the Easter bit with our kids, because we do. But we do also spend a lot of time talking about how it's about rebirth and how everything's coming back to life, and just taking time to really appreciating that when it comes time for Easter.
We also like to celebrate life. What I mean by that is when someone is no longer able to be with us. Children are very inquisitive in that way. And so when my stepdad died, we talked about Grandpa Forbes now being in heaven, up with the clouds, not specific intentionally, but to understand that you can still reconnect with him, with your memories, people who knew him. And I do that, and we've started doing that with my father as well. He was a love of the sea, retired, and had a sailboat on the Lehigh River, and so his ashes were actually put to sea. So now whenever I want to think of him, I just go somewhere where there's water, and I can actually just recall kind of memories of him. So.
So this is a little bit about self-care. And so these are a few of the things that we feel connect with spirituality, but also sort of mental health, really. Because we're really busy, and we have lovely children, but we still have 5 kids, and it's all the time, go, go, go. There's often conflicts. One of the things that we really work on is just trying to laugh at things. And not everybody is able to, and the kids are just learning how to just kind of laugh it off when they do a silly misstep instead of it being a big deal. We just laugh about it. Like, it's okay. And Troy invented this really interesting song about today is going to be a good day, and the kids just start giggling. And so laughter is a big part of our household. We also do, I don't know if anybody knows what laughing yoga is. We try to do laughing yoga together. And we try to do real yoga, and it looks a lot like that. That's not me. But that's how it always ends up. But we do try to do some yoga together as a family as well.
We also really encourage imagination. So whether it's, you know, the kids out in the forest thinking about fairies, or, you know, drawing or writing, creativity and imagination is a big thing. And the guitar represents my personal meditation. When I play guitar, even by myself, it's just a way for me to you know, become inward and focused. So. And that is the end of our discussion. Thank you very much for having us. It's our honor to be here. So I hope you guys find it a little interesting.